Hello.
Yo, welcome to Football Friendly. Gareth Westhead, Sir Gareth Westhead. Let's just get into it. It happened. We knew it would. The fact that it only took 45 seconds was a bit of a shock, given that it was Spurs. You'd
Well,
expect.
27 seconds until the penalty was. Well, 27 seconds when the incident happened. Do you think it was a handball, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, but yeah.
It's their rule, so it's basically. But
no, but
what was Sissoko doing? But by the way, I do like
he was
how the
pointing.
scousers have.
He was pointing. He was actually like making a reference to someone else to making a movement. Obviously defending the cross. If you have a look, he's actually got his finger out.
I thought he's the type of thing. Basically, when I used to play at left back for my football team, the left winger always used to usher his winger or the opposing fullback down the line rather than letting him come inside. And he always used to point down the line. And I thought that's what Sissoko was doing, as if to say, go down the line, don't come inside. But I don't know, but it was stupid. It was absolutely stupid. Though I do like how the Scousers have all of a sudden changed their tune from when United got that penalty against PSG.
Oh, well, yeah, but that's football.
That's standard football fans, isn't it? I mean, like, come on, bless them. But, well, yeah, it happened. We are, of course, talking about Liverpool winning the Champions League. It's been interesting to see the reaction. Spurs fans just can't take it. Like, my mate was just absolutely going off on one last night. Obviously, rather weirdly, West Ham are, like, trying to take the mickey out of Spurs, whereas I don't really think they've got the kind of right to do so, if you get what I mean, because they've achieved nothing as a football club, really. Through, I mean, just not just recently, but since forever.
Yeah, it's a time of social media, isn't it? I saw the tweet myself, and you know, it reminded me of the Leeds United tweet after Derby lost with the hashtag "Stop Crying."
Yeah,
I mean, it's just a sign of the times. Football clubs have to play the social media game, and it's a talking point. It gets stuff trending. It's branding. We all know that there's a place for that, depending on what industry you work in, for example. But when football clubs are doing it, it's just a bit like, come on, get a grip. As long as you can take it with a pinch of salt, but 9 times out of 10, football fans don't.
Yeah, I mean, I had a mate sort of crying yesterday. He just sort of started, giving it the big, and he was like, oh, well, at least we're in the Champions League next year. So that's when I started to go in on him, and he couldn't take it. He was saying, oh, why are you being like this? My kids are crying and all this kind of stuff. I was like, dude, just chill out, man. But
I mean, look, you know, to be fair, like, it was probably always going to be a step too far for them. I actually thought that when they beat City, I thought that was like their heyday. But then obviously the miracle happened in Amsterdam. But I mean, like, you know, it was an awful game of football.
Yeah.
Compared to the problem is the benchmark was set so high because both semi-finals were so good. I think by default, everyone's mentality was, of course, it's going to be a gripping game. And I think I might have said on the last podcast that I anticipated something happening within the game. Something shocking would happen. I didn't expect a penalty within the first 30 seconds. And it killed the game, because that meant Klopp just went proper Jose Mourinho and let the team come onto them, soak up all the pressure and hit them on the counter.
Yeah, exactly. They did park the coach, as Mourinho calls it.
I wouldn't necessarily say park the coach. He was tactically astute, Klopp.
And yeah, it's called tactical astuteness when he does it. Yeah, exactly.
I think... I think it's the fact that I would define him as being tactically astute in that instance because of the nature of the way Liverpool play, and the fact that they can change tact very quickly, but they score a lot of goals.
And yeah. Really good. I mean, we're approaching 4:30, Gareth. Are we going to...
I think we can do some added on time.
Okay, well, great. Yeah, I mean, look, I think that you're right. Tottenham did have a lot of the ball, but I think... You know, the decision to play Harry Kane, what was Pochettino thinking of? I mean, like, you know, Rio Ferdinand before the game just went, great, I'm a defender, I want Harry Kane to play. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And then, like, Michael Owen was like, yeah, but it's Harry Kane, you know, of course he's got to play. And it's just like, he's just like, no, he's just, he was absolutely blowing out of his arse. He had no movement. He did not look fit. And apparently he only touched the ball. Like, well, he had 9 successful passes, didn't he?
So, yeah, I mean, it's cup final once in a lifetime. He's going to be saying he's fit, he's fit, he's fit. Lines get blurred. You know, Poch obviously wants him there because he's the main talisman. He's, you know, club captain, country captain, all of that. But you're right. I mean, you know, it was easy. As soon as he was in the lineup, I was like, oh, bloody, I'll bring him on for 20 minutes.
I know, I know. And the thing was that I also think that Dele Lingard, like, I just don't rate that player whatsoever. He's just, like, Spurs fans rave about him, right? They absolutely think he is great.
Yeah,
they, But he's like, so obviously we've got a mutual friend who's a Tottenham fan. He was actually messaging during the final itself. He actually went to the game as well. And he's, he's messaging on WhatsApp during the actual game. I'm just like, dude, I would not be on WhatsApp for like... But anyway, he's on WhatsApp and I just said, why do people rate Dele Alli, right? I've never seen it, right? The only reason I can think about it is because he's English, and he's an English player with like 20% of what you would call creativity and flair, if you get what I mean. But I've just never seen him absolutely, you know, dominate a game or be, this, you know, he's just, he might benefit like from playing with Kane in the fact that if he lays a ball through to Kane, Kane's going to score. But I just thought he was anonymous yesterday. Son was very good, I thought. I thought Son was really going at them.
He really is a fantastic player, isn't he?
Yeah, so Son was very good. And, you know, I think some of the, you know, Real Madrid and Barcelona should definitely look at Son because, A, he's a good player, and, B, he'll just help you corner that South Korean market, won't he? So you can slap an extra 10 to 20% on your sponsorship deals, which makes it weird that United haven't gone for him. But yeah, Son was great, I thought. But then other than that, I just don't think anyone from Spurs, like, they did have a lot of the ball, granted, but they didn't really create, I don't think. But one thing I do have to say is that Alisson, who my niece actually finds it really funny that a bloke is called Alisson, because she sits next to a girl called Alisson at school. Alisson, like, when they signed him, I looked at his YouTube compilations and thought, hold on, this guy's just like, all this compilation is just a collection of shots being hit straight at him or just very close either side of him. But he reminds me a lot of Cech and Van der Sar in the sense that their positioning sense is so good that when the shot does eventually, you know, get fired off, they're just there to just easily just fall on top of it or palm it away. And I just thought Alisson, like, Spurs were terrible in front of goal yesterday, and they were scuffing a lot of shots. They weren't getting shots away quick enough, but when they did, I just thought Alisson was very good in his positioning and his anticipation of danger. And there's the difference right there from last year, because obviously Karius, you know, made a couple of howlers in last year's final, whereas Alisson, you know, did keep Liverpool at 1-0 in the lead. And then obviously Divock Origi went and scored at the other end, and then it's game over. So all in all,
I mean, look, for me, look, it was just a game too far for Spurs. And look, yeah, they're undone by a penalty that's a penalty according to the rule book. But you know, I think, like, our generation would be like, there's no way is that handball. You know, there wasn't a kind of movement, but I'm just unnatural. Just they just need to clarify or rewrite the rule book. But will they? Probably not. Do you know what I mean? I'd be gobsmacked if that was given in a Premier League match.
Yeah,
well, in Europe, the VAR and the referee literally just go, well, if it's hit his hand, it has to be a penalty. There's well, no kind of
they've got this
understanding of it.
The rule is the silhouette rule. So is that if you're in a position where you've made yourself bigger than what a natural sort of...
Yeah, of course, body posture is,
Because obviously, I don't know whether you saw, there was criticism of Alderweireld for Origi's goal because he went to close down the ball with his arms behind his back and therefore wasn't able to get across quick enough or able to throw himself at the ball with as much, you know, force or dynamism as would have been had he been able to have flailing arms all over the place. So I don't know. Look, it's obviously going to run and run, but I was hoping that VAR would make the Scousers lose goals rather than still get them, because obviously even with VAR coming into the Premier League next season, you can replay the incident all you want, but things do are still sometimes down to interpretation, aren't they? So
yeah, true.
You know, so
I mean, you know, I think, like I said, probably a game too far for Spurs. I hope, you know, both Spurs fans and Liverpool fans had a great time out of Madrid, and the police, you know, they weren't as brutal as they kind of normally
are. Did you
see
that brilliant piece of it was a clip during the rounds where some Scouser tries to go through some fences, and then the police officer just comes and absolutely whacks him in the head, right? Pulls the gate shut, and then the Scouser runs at the gate and kicks it closed, and then just starts giving it the Barry McGuigan to the guy that's just hit him. And then from behind, another policeman just comes on a horse and just whacks him again in the back of the head.
I hate all that stuff. It's horrible. To be honest, the only video I've seen is of the naked Scouser.
Oh, my word. Just when you think you've seen it all.
There's just no words for that.
It's just, you know, apparently he got arrested. Apparently he did a few, apparently he got arrested for sexually assaulting somebody, masturbating in public.
It was just ludicrous. Just two couple of things. The clip during the rounds of James Milner speaking Spanish. Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't.
He's pretty, you know, he played it down because obviously it's him. But the commentator was like, "Your Spanish is really good, by the way." And he was like, "Oh, well, you know, blah, blah, blah."
Where did he learn Spanish?
Probably in his spare time. I don't know.
Is he better than Gareth Bale at Spanish, do you think?
I suspect so, yes. And then what was the other video I saw that really made me chuckle?
I was going to say the video that's doing the rounds that I didn't watch was Hendo and his dad or something like that.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's lovely. Do you know what I mean? It's, at the end of the day, it's football. It's, they're all humans. You know, I mean, I'm not particularly a fan of Henderson's. I kind of struggle to see what his worth is. But he's club captain Liverpool. So obviously, and look, I'm a football fan. Jurgen Klopp's a bloody football manager. He knows he's the best man for his team. But it's nice. It's nice. I like the human side too. I like the fact that the Liverpool fans and the Tottenham fans appear to have a great time together and everything else. It was, I suppose, from an English perspective, it was an advert for a game. It was a shame the game didn't live up to that. Oh, that was it. Please for Klopp, because I do quite like him, and it must be quite a big relief for him to kind of free himself from the shackle of losing six finals as well.
I don't particularly. Look, I think that he did the, it's like you say, the semi-final, winning that game 4-0 against Barcelona was worthy of winning the cup. And, you know, he once made a very disparaging comment at Mourinho's expense where he went, "When we got to the UEFA Cup final, we got Seville, Man United got Ajax," right? Which I just thought was very disrespectful. But, you know, would he turn around and say, you know, but look, we can turn around and say, when the last couple of European Cup finals we've been in, we played literally the greatest side of all time, managed by one of the best managers of all time. And Liverpool got Spurs. So, you know, there you go. I mean, like, look, it's all... it's all swings and roundabouts. I mean, look, I've got no, I've got no good feeling towards Klopp. I mean, look, I will definitely look at Liverpool. Like, everyone's looking at them and thinking, right, well, they've scouted players from Hull, from Roma, from Newcastle, relegated Newcastle players. And, you know, obviously, look, they spent big as well. You know, they broke the record for the goalkeeper. You know, Salah wasn't cheap. Virgil van Dijk is the most expensive defender in the world. And all of that. Having said all of that, though, it is very good scouting, shrewd buying. But Klopp just brings that team together, and you can't really argue with that, can you? And it's the same with City. as well. Like, if you look at City and you look at Liverpool, right, Liverpool have probably got more players that would make a World 11 than City do, if you get what I mean. Do you know what I mean? Like, Van Dijk would make a World 11.
Star players, as it were, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, City, again, is good scouting and great management and just well-run club from top to bottom. Liverpool, I don't think, is a sustainable model because it all hinges on Klopp. Once he goes, or once a couple of players, if they add a couple of dud signings or a couple of good players end up leaving, then they'll be back to finishing eighth and ninth. I don't believe, like, a lot of United fans are saying, oh, Liverpool are going to go and dominate now. I don't think they will. I think they're more likely to fall apart than dominate. City will dominate, I think.
It'll be interesting to see what happens, won't it? Because, I mean, like, it's not even 24 hours since they won the bloody trophy, but I can imagine Klopp's got to be thinking, right, Premier League is the priority, you know, because history and, you know, kind of where they're at and how close they were and all of that kind of comes together perfectly. So his focus will, you know, purely be the league. I don't think he has to change that team that much, to be honest.
But yeah, I mean, it could do what Spurs did in the sense that not add any signings and then just see if you can just continue that particular run of form again. Yeah, I mean, look, they were being linked with Memphis Depay, and I was just thinking I would be desperate for that signing to happen because Depay would come in and upset. Well, he'd upset the chemistry of the team. He would 100% upset it, I think, because he's exactly the type of player that would not fit in at Liverpool. Like, you know, they're all about the team unit. They're all about not being individuals. They're humble. And Depay is none of those things. So, yeah, we'll just have to wait and see if they do sign anyone or whether they do think that they can go again with these players. And they probably could. But the thing is that you can see that if Klopp is going to make signings, if you make them in midfield so you can replace the likes of Hendo, the likes of Milner,
Why would Hendo need replacing?
Because it's like you said, he's just an ordinary footballer. Whereas
that's what I see him as. But he's just on the Champions League and he's club captain, so he's obviously worth a lot more than what I see. I just don't see any worth in it. If they're not going to replace him, they're going to get rid of Milner. Do you know what I mean? Because he's 34 and he's done the lot now.
Yeah.
Has he won everything? He's won the league with City. He's won the FA Cup. Has he won the League Cup with City?
He would have done. They've won a lot of League Cup, City. I think they've won like three or four since the Sheikhs took over.
And then he's won the Champions League as well. Yeah. Bloody hell, James Milner.
So, basically, and I knew the answer to this piece of trivia, right? It's just one of these pieces of trivia that a lot of football fans just know. Daniel Sturridge became the second English player to win the European Cup with two different English teams, right? Name the other player.
Bloody hell. Can I give you my answer in the next podcast? Because I can't think of
it. You won't. If you know it, you know it. If you don't know it, you don't.
Go on, tell me then.
It was Jimmy Rimmer. So,
oh, I didn't know that. Jimmy Rimmer
was reserve goalkeeper for Manchester United in 1968 and was goalkeeper for... I think he might have been reserve goalkeeper again, or he might have been. I don't know whether Nigel Spink was in those days, but yeah, he Aston Villa 82. Yeah. So
here's one for you. Do you remember? I think you said it. I think we had a debate over WhatsApp about this. Players that have come down from Scotland that have made it, and obviously Andy Robertson.
Yeah,
has to be one of them.
Well, Virgil van Dijk as well, arguably. I mean, he's not Scotland, he's not Scottish, but Virgil was... Didn't you say one of your mates was like, you should sign Virgil van Dijk, he'd absolutely... Like, not you, Bolton, but like you said, if Virgil van Dijk came to the Premier League, he'd absolutely boss it. And
And like Neil Lennon said to him, you won't be here long. On his first day in... So Neil Lennon couldn't believe he got him for a start. Right. And he paid absolutely bugger all for him. And his first day, and Virgil's backed this up apparently... In his first day, Lennon just said, look, you won't be here long, mate, so just enjoy it. And he wasn't. He went to Southampton for 15 million quid and then Southampton sell him for 70 million quid and Celtic get 20% of it.
Amazing. That's amazing. I mean, look, it's fantastic that that such a fantastic club, Celtic, were able to profit from it. It's a great club. Just
well-run club.
Work great club north of the border, 1888. The one star.
I've got to move on. I've got to shift on. I've got jobs to get done. What's the subject matter for our next podcast? We've got league, a bit of a lull, haven't we?
The now defunct, League of Nations. So obviously the League of Nations was disbanded in the early 1900s after... What led to the end of the League of Nations? I can't remember.
Is that not a Marvel franchise, the League of Nations?
Sorry?
Is that not a Marvel franchise?
Yeah, I think it is, actually. So I think it was the end of, I think it was World War II. NATO came in after World War II, didn't it?
Hang on a minute. Are we playing? We're playing on Saturday night. They've been playing on Monday night, aren't we? If we get through. Hang on, when?
I don't know.
I don't know where the games are, but...
So
Can you imagine that? You're a Liverpool player that's going to be hung over to buggery getting on a flight out to Portugal, and you're going to have to meet up with Harry Kane. And I mean, Trippier's not in the squad, is he? But Dele Alli himself.
Oh my God!
Well, it's going to be awful as anything. They're like, how's your week been, Laz? It's like, yeah, pretty shit.
Somebody made the point that apparently Spurs felt lucky to be there, if you get what I mean. And
get out of town! I'm not having that.
They Tottenham's
grateful, yeah, grateful they're there. Whereas Liverpool have a history and they've won six and everything else, but
yeah,
do you know what I mean? It's just like no one. No, I'm not having that. Sorry.
Well, just three things. One, Tottenham's Instagram page says we are Tottenham. We will be back. I don't think they will. Second of all, Liverpool. I felt awful in 2005. I felt sick to my stomach seeing Gerrard and Carragher parading round with that trophy.
I really enjoyed that fun. I love that.
Just the whole thing about it, the way they blew it, the way AC Milan blew it, and the way that Gerrard, like, history's written by the winner, isn't it? And it's like Gerrard is claimed to have been man of the match in that game, where he did absolutely awful in that game. He got absolutely shat upon for about... apart from 6 minutes, he just didn't know where he was.
Let's be honest, mate. It was a game of two halves.
It was a game of 6 minutes, 1 6-minute period and the rest, I think. Liverpool got battered in that final. It's like, But anyway, so I felt awful then, right? I'm actually not arsed that they won it. I feel as unarsed as them winning it as I do City winning the treble. And the reason is that Liverpool... I haven't won the league for 29 years, right? Spurs haven't won the league for 60 years. That's 89 years between them, right? Of not having won the league. And it doesn't feel like the winner of that game should be crowned champions of Europe. And I know how the Champions League works. I know I've said this before, but, Wigan win the FA Cup doesn't make them the best team in England. Do you know what I mean? So,
no, of course, but I mean, I think, this is where, this is where next season there's going to be a different type of focus on Klopp, Liverpool, and indeed Poch and Tottenham. I must admit, I do agree that Tottenham, they had a spark and a magic about them this season, particularly in the Champions League. I mean, look, they were lucky to get through the group stage.
Yeah.
But since then, they played their luck, they rolled the dice, whichever metaphor you want to use. And he got into the final.
Yeah, that was the.
They didn't take the opportunity, and/or it didn't come about. Whatever. But I think Tottenham as a football club are probably they've never been at a more crucial stage, because they're either gonna do things correctly, and I don't know if they can invest because of the stadium, and they're gonna really offer Poch an opportunity to build on this platform as opposed to success.
Yeah.
Or they're just going to stagnate. So it's so critical for them as a football club. So critical.
Yeah. I think another point, I think I was going to make three points. I made the first one about Tottenham not going back. Second one about it not feeling like Liverpool deserve to be called champions of Europe. The thing about Poch, just another quick point was that I think Tottenham, like Liverpool, very much hinge on the manager. And I think that City, right, they could lose Guardiola, right? But somebody else could come in and take it on and not reach the heights that Guardiola has, but still get them winning the league, right?
Yeah.
Chelsea, they just had different manager after different manager after different manager after Mourinho built that team. And they continue to win a trophy every year, right? Tottenham, if Poch goes, they're finished, right? And I'm talking about majorly finished. I'm talking about like finishing 8th, 9th, 10th. I just don't think that there's anything there to, you know, it will all fall apart if he goes. That's it.
I think that's maybe you wishful thinking. I mean,
I don't wish for it. It's just my opinion, I guess.
I just think because they get however many millions in the Premier League, they're now on 4 seasons running consecutive Champions League next season, is it? Something like that. So, you know, they've established, I don't know how much the stadium costs. I don't know how that impacts transfer plans, et cetera, but I mean, this is what I mean. It's make or break for them. You know, are they going to put themselves in a position whereby they're going to back Poch, to give him a big contract, get him some 2 or 3 positions that he feels he needs filled rather than big names? And is he going to help them, you know, step on? I must say, and I've had this discussion quite a lot, particularly in my old office, that I think they have to win a trophy, just win something to get the ball rolling. So, like, for me, right, you know, my opinion is if I could see Bolton win any trophy, it would be the FA Cup. I'd be in tears, I'd retire. But, like, for a team like Tottenham, right, if they win that, that's a starting point, great. But I fear some football fans and or clubs, I don't know, and I'm happy to debate it, get guilty of, we're in the Champions League. We're better than the FA Cup.
That's it. The modern football fan considers, like Tottenham consider themselves to be too big for the League Cup, too big for the FA Cup. They just think it's Champions League and top four. And, you know,
all that is a different road. It's just a different avenue. And arguably, it's more difficult because, look, are they going to press for the Premier League? They were meant to be pressing for the Premier League at Christmas. They finished 20 points off or whatever it was.
Another thing, you know what I mean? Russ, that I was going to say was that,
sorry. Yeah.
So I had 2 things to say. One, Tottenham and Liverpool both lost 4 games in the lead up to the final, right? And Tottenham have lost 20 games this season.
No way.
No, they've lost 20 games this season. And it just...
No way. When? So 4-5 in the Champions League?
Yeah, 5 in the Champions League. They lost. So remember they didn't...
The League Cup?
Yeah, they lost in the League Cup. But you remember...
They did not lose 13 times in the Premier League.
They did because, if you recall correctly, they drew... If I recall correctly, sorry, that's from that Will Ferrell outtake, my plums video. But their first draw this season came in April.
It did. So yeah, fair play.
They lost 20 games look, draws for me are as good as defeats.
Could you imagine that? They could have won the Champions League and lost 19 domestic games.
Yeah, that's
City would have lost how many? 3?
Yes, City lost how many? They lost 4 in the league. They lost.
Did they?
Yeah, they lost 4 in the league, and they lost maybe 2 in the Champions League. 6, and I think Liverpool have lost 7 or 8 times this season because they lost 4 times in the Champions League. They lost once in the League Cup, and
once in the FA Cup,
and then once FA Cup and once in the league. Yeah, so it's like 8, isn't it? So
I mean, and this, you know, this is the old adage, isn't it, of, you know, cup competition is a completely different thing to a league competition. And if you can win you know, the final position of number 1 over 38 games,
yes,
that's such an incredible achievement.
Well, this is the thing. So
that's mental.
Ollie Holt was saying, so basically now Liverpool and United have won the same amount of trophies, right? When Mourinho won us the League Cup, we drew level with Liverpool. And then when we won the UEFA Cup, we went 1 ahead of them. They've now drawn level with us, right? So Ollie Holt was saying 6 European Cups is better than 20 leagues. So winning the European Cup the most is better than winning the league the most.
And is it not just saying that to spark conversation?
Probably. But a United fan came on and said, look, you can fluke the Champions League. right? You can, you know, any as it's been proven that, you know, over 38 games, like you just said, the best team will win, right? In the Champions League, not necessarily. So I agree with you in what you said.
I mean, look, Euro 2000...
Euro 92, Euro 2004, yeah, Greece, exactly. Denmark.
Yeah, then you've got Wigan in the FA Cup.
Wigan, Wimbledon, for those of a certain age, though obviously you don't have to be of a certain age to know that that happened, but it's, you know, it's all a matter of an opinion, but obviously that's opinions is what make us what we are. Obviously, you wouldn't have this very successful podcast if it wasn't for the opinions of the fans, and obviously they've been responding in their droves to the revival of content. I know it's been blowing up, and we hope that people will continue to watch us and support us.
We haven't done filming for ages. Do you mean listen to us?
Listen to us. But what we can do is that look, we can film a video. We can do like what TalkSport do, in that we can have. Like, what we should do is we should do the phone-in thing next week. So, you know...
The lines will be jammed, plus I'm not putting my personal number up online.
We'll do the phone-in, and we'll do five-minute snippets of the phone-in. We'll edit it out, we'll clip it out, and we'll upload it to the Facebook channel again. So we can get that moving and grooving again.
Let me crack on, but subject matters to discuss within the next week. Obviously, the League of Nations, the Marvel franchise.
Yeah.
Bolton Wanderers' fate to be decided on the 7th of June, which is obviously Friday morning.
Yeah, obviously.
Me daughter's first, but no, I won't bother talking about that. And then what was the other? Kits. We have to discuss the leaked kits that have been leaked thus far.
Well, yeah, but
we'll leave that for the next one because there's one that's an absolute beaut.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I saw West Ham's new kit. Looks decent, to be honest with you. They've got three new decent kits.
Let's leave it for the next podcast because I've got opinions on this big time.
Amazing. Okay. Well, thank you everybody for listening, and we will be back shortly to preview the League of Nations and leaked kits. Bye-bye.
Cheers, gang.